Yeah, all right. Hey, just want to say hey to you guys. My name is Carl. I'm a pastor up north at a church called Bayside. And on behalf of our whole staff, I'm just pumped to be here with you guys this weekend. Before we get into it, I just want to ask everybody, just get up on those feet. You're like, I'm so tired. I'm 19 years old. My life is hard. You can do it. You can do it. Hey, I just want to read God's word to us where we're going to be this entire weekend. If you got a Bible, you got notes with you, we're going to dig into God's word, but I just want to go right to it first. This is from the Apostle Mark, writing this in Mark chapter 12. This is our passage for the weekend. Jesus answered, "The most important is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." There's no other commandment greater than these. Now, I'll tell you guys, I have had the blessed opportunity. I love Dallas and the whole team here to be able to come and hang out at Hume. And I got the opportunity to speak at different camps and conferences. And here's what I believe with every fiber that's inside of me. No matter who you are, no matter what you showed up with this weekend, no matter how far you feel like you are away from God, or if you don't even have a concept of God, I believe with every fiber in me that God has something that he wants to say to you this weekend. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter if this whole Christian thing is just a farce to you, this weekend, I believe that God has something that he wants to say to you. Not just that he wants to say to everyone in this space, but specifically you. And to receive that word, I want to encourage you, if you've never done this before in your life, to say, God, I am readying myself this weekend to hear from you. I want to dismiss the things in my head, in my heart, that aren't of you. I want to dismiss the distractions, the relationships, the bills I can't pay, the bank account that's negative $300, the college loans that I don't know how I'm going to pay back. God, I'm going to dismiss all those things over these next few days to hear from you. And friends, give me your eyes. I want you to get this. I believe if you make yourself available to God in that way this weekend, this could be a catalyst weekend for your life. This could be a cornerstone benchmark weekend where you remember that weekend I went up to Hume to back on that girl. That weekend I went up to Hume to get away from that boyfriend. That weekend I went up to Hume to get out of that apartment because I hate my roommate and the way she smells. God spoke to me. So right now, I want us to invite God into this space. I love what the advance just let us in worship. But really saying, God, I want you to fill this space. Fill this space right now, because there's, ready guys, there's 14 inches that God wants to get a hold of this weekend. Those 14 inches are the inches between your heart and your head. As young people, young adults, college students, everything in this world wants to get those 14 inches as confused, as distracted, as bothered, as busy, as anxious as possible. But we're going to ask God to clear up those 14 inches so that we can hear from him clearly. I don't believe the words this weekend are going to be my words as I speak out of God's word, but I believe that God wants to say something to you. So let's pray and ask God to do just that. Lord Jesus, I lift up every single one of these young adults before you, God. And I pray right now, God, that you would step in this space. God, that you would clear up those 14 inches between our head and our heart to receive your word. God, that we wouldn't show up to this with a mindset of we know what you're going to do. We wouldn't show up to this with a routine mindset to come and get my little fix. But God, this weekend would be a rock, God, that it would be a cornerstone, that it would be a benchmark in the lives of these young men and young women, Lord Jesus, that they would open themselves up to you. God, that they would say no to the things of this world. They would say yes to you, Lord Jesus, and you would speak loudly into their hearts. God, that you would ignite a hope into them, Lord Jesus, that you would ignite a passion into them, Lord Jesus, that you would squash down and crush down the anxiety and the brokenness, Lord Jesus, the envy, the greed, the chase after success, all the things that are keeping them from you. And Lord Jesus, in the way that only you can do, Lord Jesus, you would say, yes, you are mine. You are my son. You are my daughter. Enter into the Father's court. Lord Jesus, speak to us this evening. I pray that your words would be the words that come out of my mouth, Lord God, that your countenance would be upon my face, Lord Jesus, that your spirit would be within me, and that hearts would be ready to receive. We pray like this, not because we are worthy, but because you are truly God who sits on a throne, and we give it all to you. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, hey, before you sit down, I want you to go find three people and give them the most awkward Christian hug you can. Young man, this is your opportunity with that girl right now. Go for it. Some of you are afraid to do it. This is the only opportunity you're going to have. This isn't the time to hug that guy. Don't hug that bro that you have. She's waiting for you to hug her. You're going to lose the opportunity. Hey, man, there's always one. What's up, boss? How are you? Thanks, man. Awesome, awesome. Awesome. All right, go ahead and grab a seat. Go ahead and grab a seat. So many guys hugging each other. So weird. I tell you to hug a woman and you find the nearest man. We'll talk about that tomorrow. So I got to tell you guys. So I just got off. I love how preachers always want to tell you where they've been. No one cares, but it's going to explain some things. I just got off a plane a couple hours ago from Alabama, and I spent a couple days in Alabama. And here's what I got to tell you about Alabama. Number one, they have the best fried chicken in the world. Stereotype is true, okay? Secondly, the church that I was at, they kind of inspired me with something. Like, whenever, it didn't even matter if it was the preacher, but anybody who was up there talking, you could be talking about anything. Some woman came up to give us announcements about lunch, and people were like, come on. Like, they were just, ready? White people, give me your eyes, ready? It's called shouting them down. So that's what they were doing. They're like, she came up, she's like, so today for lunch, and people are like, yes, yes, Lord, lunch. In Jesus' name. It was crazy, but I liked it. I was like, yeah, this is like full contact, you know, sermon preaching kind of stuff. So here's what I'm inviting you guys into, right? I'm inviting you to be part of this, okay? Okay, not awkwardly, chill out. This guy's like, yeah, finally, it's my time. Settle down, I've got the microphone. I want to invite you to be part of this. So if something resonates with you, you can just go, If it resonates with you, I'm serious. Because sometimes, you know, listen. Shake it off, shake it off. You ain't that cool, shake it off. Listen, you know how cool you're not? You are at church camp on a weekend. You are not cool, okay? Fact. That is a fact. Okay? So shake it off. So something you hear that resonates with you, you want to write some notes down, you say, If I'm saying something you want to hear more of, you say, come on, preacher. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and if you just want to want me to be quiet, say, amen. If I've said too much, you say, amen. And I know I got to move on to the next point. All right? But seriously, man, I want this to we're going to chill over this over the next couple of days. I got our college pastor from our church, Blake Vandermark. He's in the back kicking it with us. I know he'd love to connect with some of you guys and gals, but this is going to be our time together over the next couple of days as we delve into this passage in Mark, which, man, I just love this passage. tell you a little bit about myself. So I've been in ministry for the last 16 years. I have a beautiful wife and two little awesome, beautiful girls. I got pictures of them. Yeah, I did that. 50% right here, guys. That's how sex works. All right, so that is the bigger one. The bigger one, that's my daughter, Georgia. She's 5 years old, and she is the most outrageous kid you ever are going to meet. Like, I was FaceTiming her on the way up here, up the hill, and she's like, Daddy, Daddy, I'm a princess. And I'm like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, she's just big imagination, such a good girl. I love her so very much. And then the one next to her is Ruby. That's our 2.5-year-old. She is a terrorist. But she's so cute. And when you're cute, you can do whatever you want. People just are like, you're cute, kid. What am I going to do, right? But these two girls, man, I'm telling you, you don't learn anything about yourself until you have kids. Like, you think, right now, as a young adult, you think you know who you are, okay? You do not know who you are until you have a child. Because children reveal something about us. Number one, they reveal that we are extremely selfish people. And it also reveals that all of us have this button inside of us that says, I want to kick that child. It doesn't make you bad. It's real. And my kids, like, come on, somebody. My kids have taught me so much. They've taught me so much. But as I've kind of journeyed with them over the last 5 years, what I realized with them is they're always just asking, Dad, what are the limits that we can kind of go to? Everything for them is a test of limits. You remember when you were a little kid, right? It's like, can I do that? Oh, no, you can't. Can I do this? Or can I do this? Like, Georgia comes up to me. We have a swing and a tree house in our backyard. And she comes up to me, the 5-year-old. She goes, Daddy. And I'm like, yes, Georgia. She's like, can I push Ruby on the swings? And I go, oh, yeah, that's so nice. You can push sister on the swings. And she's like, okay, can I push her really hard? And I go, why do you want to push her hard? And she's like, so she can fly off and fly onto the trampoline. Can I do that, Daddy? I said, no, you cannot do that. You know, or Ruby will come out and she has this hammer of Thor. It's a different toy, but now she wields it like she is Thor. And she will walk up to me and say, Daddy, can I use the hammer? And she does, like, she's a baby, so she doesn't speak right. She's like, can I use the hammer? And I'm like, yes. And she's like, can I hit Georgia with the hammer? No, you cannot hit your sister with the hammer. But for them, what they're asking is this fundamental question. Tell me what the limits are so I can play within those limits. Tell me exactly how far I can go so I know where is over the line and where isn't. And we all do this. We all have these rules, these regulations that surround us. And our thought is, how can I push up against those rules and regulations? I remember when I was in junior high, 1,000 years ago. Before I got ready for junior high, my first day of junior high, I went to my older brother, Rick. And I said, hey, Rick, you're a year older than me, so you must be smart. That's how dumb I am. I go, tell me, what do I need to be careful of? What's the thing that's going to keep me alive in junior high? Do you remember your first day of junior high, how scared you were, right? You're just like, oh my gosh, going to junior high. And Rick kind of nonchalant tells me, he's like, Carl, listen, all you need to know is to follow the arrows. And I go, this guy's a teacher. I go, what do you mean? He goes, there are arrows on the walls. Whatever way the arrow is pointing, go that way. And I said, okay. So I got my fresh outfit on. I probably had hammer pants and a Janko t-shirt, I don't know. And I show up to school, but I was there a little bit before the bell rang, and I go into the hallway. And first thing I noticed was, oh my gosh, these girls are giants. That's what you realize your first day of junior high, that girls are big. And I'm like, oh. But the bell hadn't rung yet, so I'm just kind of like walking around, like being smooth, suave, 7th grade Carl. You laugh as if that's not conceivable. Look at me with my skinny jeans on. Come on, I was cool back then. And I'm in the hall, and I'm just like, oh, yeah, hanging out with my friends, just chilling. And then the bell rings. And, kid, you guys are in college. You're out of college now, so you may not remember this. But, like, when the bell rings, something in us happens. It's like, I must obey the bell, right? It's like Pavlov. Like the bell rang, like to end dinner, right? To chapel. And you guys were doing whatever you're doing. You're like, oh, the bell rang. We must go. Okay, here we go. So the bell rings, and everyone is like talking. And next thing you know, everybody's just like about face. It was like whack, boosh, and then boom, 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 right? It's like the Korean army. And I'm like, what's happening? And I'm like way down here because I'm a little guy, and these girls are so tall. And I didn't notice that the arrow was pointing that way on the wall. And I was like, but my class is this way. So I thought, I'm just going to go my way. I'm going to go my way, and because my class is right there. I can see it. I'm just going to go. I was dumb. So I make my way through the trees, the tall forests of eighth grade legs, and I'm crawling on the floor, and now I'm being trampled by these giant junior hires, all trying to get to this door, and then this teacher just swipes me up. And he's like, you stupid seventh grader, follow the arrows. But the deal was, I needed to know. I needed to know where I could go. I needed to know what were the real rules. What would happen if I went against them? What would happen if I didn't follow them just so? See, there's something inside of us, all of us, that wants to fight against the rules, the regulations, the laws that have been set up for us. Any of you feel like champions when you jaywalk? Like, I don't know the last time anyone in America got a ticket for jaywalking, but like, you jaywalk and you're like, yeah, I'm doing it. I jaywalk on purpose. Like, I just do it because it's against the law to kill people with your car. So that's my reasoning. Again, I'm not that smart. But everything inside of us wants to push against that. And we're not different than every person that's been recorded in Scripture. Specifically, God's people, the Israelites, or before they were named Israelites, the Hebrew nation. These folks had been enslaved by Egypt for 400 years. And after 400 years of enslavement, God takes them out of Egypt, frees them from Egypt. 10 plagues, you've heard about this, frogs falling from the sky, the whole deal, water turns into blood. And he gives Moses, this guy, authority to lead his people out of Egypt. And as Moses leads these 2 million people out of Egypt, into the wilderness, and not wilderness like what we see around here. This would have been like the desert, this vast desert. As they head out into this desert, God's people start asking questions to Aaron and Moses. Like, tell us exactly what we need to do. Tell us exactly like what we can and can't do. Because here's the deal, they had been living as slaves for 400 years. So they didn't have any idea what freedom looked like. They didn't understand what it meant to wake up in the morning and just do what you wanted to do. So they call their leaders and they're like, tell us how we're supposed to live. And God, in all of his sovereignty and all of his goodness, lays out a plan for them. He lays out a plan. And God gives them laws. Hundreds of laws. We focus oftentimes on the Ten Commandments. But actually, God had given them over 600 different laws. From everything from hygiene to how to butcher animals, to what day they rest on. And all of this was to help them live in freedom. Because that's the business that God's in. God's in the freedom business. But the children of God, the Hebrew nation, they just couldn't believe that just doing these things, by following these laws, by doing exactly what God had told them to, they couldn't believe that that was enough for God to take care of them. They didn't believe if we just follow these commandments, if we follow these laws, God, you will in fact take care of us. Even though God had just freed them from 400 years of slavery, had killed all the firstborns of Egypt, had turned the Nile River into blood, had given all the wealth of Egypt to them. Like literally they're walking out of Egypt and their Egyptian masters are giving them their precious metals. They walk out of Egypt and a cloud is before them. A cloud which the Holy Spirit of God resides in is before them, leading them forward. At night, there's a pillar of fire behind them. They get to the Red Sea, and Moses stands on a rock, and Moses commands the Red Sea to split in two. And yet, these people didn't believe that if they just did the things that God asked them to do, that it'd be enough. And here's the tension. We're not much different. You're not much different. I'm not much different. Something inside of us doesn't trust God enough to live the way that God calls us to live. Trust God enough to do what God desires for us to do, to give us freedom. So we rebel against God, and then we're constantly asking God, God, is it enough? God, tell me what's enough. I'll be religious, God. I'll go to church sometimes. I won't sleep with my boyfriend or girlfriend. I'll do other stuff, but I won't sleep with them. God, I won't smoke weed, I won't do this other stuff. I'll drink just a little bit. I won't get super drunk, just kind of drunk. God, I'll stop like verbally gossiping about people, but I'll save some of it that I'll do on Instagram, on Snapchat, or when we're alone, I can kind of gossip there. God, just, but is that enough? We're always asking God, how much is enough? And God is looking back at us the same way he looked back at the Hebrew nation. And God looks at you. God looks at you and goes, keep it simple, stupid. Hey, dummy. Stop making this so complicated. Stop making the relationship that I desire to have with you so complicated. Keep it simple. I'm telling you, you don't got to do all these things. You got to jump through all these hoops. Loving me, loving each other, that's enough. But we have a hard time keeping things simple. Amen? You know, every woman in here should say amen. Because girls, I've seen women get ready. And I go, what are you doing? You got all types of foundations and sprays. And listen, the sprays smell good. Come on, that's how those two babies were created. But still, like, enough is enough. The jeans, they look fine. Just put them on so we can go to Olive Garden. But we make things so complicated. Anybody born before 1991? Awesome. The rest of you are so young, all right? There was this store that used to exist called Radio Shack. Anybody ever heard of Radio Shack? Now, here's the deal about Radio Shack. Radio Shack is the place that you could go and get all of your electronic needs. And it was so weird because you would go to Radio Shack to buy batteries and they would ask for your phone number. I always thought that was bizarre. Why do you need my phone number? I just need batteries, right? And there was always a guy behind the counter. They had like that red Radio Shack jacket on, and he was like an expert in everything because he's worked there for an hour, right? So you're the technology expert. But this was an ad, I think you got it, right? From Radio Shack in 1991. Zero interest. That's not true. That's a lesson for those of you who have signed up for credit cards, okay? It's a lie, all right? No down payments until May. But what if I don't pay it? When you get a credit card, anybody like me, I got a credit card my first day of college, literally the first day of college. I showed up and opened my mailbox, and there were three credit cards in it. And I was like, oh, my God, free money. And that's why I'm in debt now. Anyways, that's a side story. So this thing from Radio Shack has all of these things that are on sale. All these things that are on sale in 1991. You can go to the full page one. I'm going to read you some of the needed things for people in 1991 that you could receive at Radio Shack. For a simple price of $11.88, you could get an all-weather personal stereo. That's fancy. You could get a AM/FM clock radio for $13.88. Listen to this. You could get a micro-thin calculator for $4.88. Come on, somebody. You could get a Tandy 1000 TL3 for $1,500. Now, listen, here's what a Tandy 1000 is. The old people know this. This is a word processor computer situation. Right? Like you would stick a disc in it and it would go, the screen was green. It was bizarre, right? It's crazy how you get a little floppy disk with a bonus package. Come on. You got to get that. Oh, check this out. Listen. You could get a speed dial telephone. Prepare yourself for this technology. A speed dial telephone that could hold 20 phone numbers in it. That's an act of God. You could get yourself a deluxe portable CD player for $160. And listen, on this deluxe CD player, it could play music for 80 minutes continuously. And all you had to do was walk around like this with it the whole time. And the headphones only went this far. So everybody listened to their music like this. It was a weird time in the 90s. You could get a handheld cassette tape recorder for $29.95. And I love this at the bottom. It says this at the bottom. If an item's not for sale, check your phone book for the Radio Shack store nearest you. Like if you wanted more information, you would check your phone book for the Radio Shack nearest you. Now, here's why this is ridiculous. Some of you are like, what is this guy talking about? Somehow, over the last 30 years, we've figured a way to simplify things. All of the things on that page cost over $3,000 if you put them all together. Ready? I literally have, not joking, everything that is offered there on this phone. We figured out a way to keep it simple. Unless you have a Galaxy Note, then it explodes on your head and it's not the same. But what Jesus was saying is what the people at Apple said. We need to simplify things. We need to simplify things. Stop making this relationship so complicated. Stop making my connection with you so much more than it really needs to be. But you know what we feel like? We feel like we're living in the 90s where we're like, oh, no. But for me to really get close to God, I still got to carry around all this baggage. I got to carry on all these electronics, all these things. I got to carry on all these rituals. I got to carry around all these things. And if I carry them just right, if I do them just right, then God will love me just right. Then God will give me favor just right. So I'm going to go to youth group. I'm going to go to college group. I'm going to go to church. I'm not going to, you know, I'm going to do all these things. And God, somehow you'll just love me. And meanwhile, God's saying, keep this relationship simple. And he goes to the furthest extreme to give us Jesus. And Jesus comes in to do the exact opposite and crush religion. And say, God is in need of relationship. Friends, if we look around the landscape of Christianity today, we have enough religion. America is chock full of religion. But what we don't have enough of is relationship. We don't have enough relationship with God. We don't have enough relationship with each other. We don't know how to connect anymore. And we look to put all types of things in between us and others. Because we're afraid that if people know who we are, if people see into us, that they won't love us, that they won't like us, that they won't give us what we need. So we hide behind things. And I know every pastor gets up and talks about social media and how social media is killing the next generation. But the truth is, social media is killing the next generation. Do you know, listen. This scientist, this isn't Carl, scientist said this. That your bodies are releasing the same endorphins that you get from drugs and sex when that little heart button on your Instagram gets more numbers next to it. There are people who are more consumed with likes and views, and something chemical is happening inside of them because that's where they're finding their value. We're making life and relationship complicated. And Jesus, I didn't come for that. I didn't come for that. Make it simple. So these scribes, these religious folks, they come to Jesus one day. And they say to Jesus, Jesus. And Jesus casually drinks water. Jesus, out of all the laws, out of the 600 plus laws, Jesus, tell us which is the most important. Tell us which law we should follow. Tell us which thing we should do and abide in so that God will love us. And Jesus looks at them and he goes, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Jesus doesn't start off with this eloquent speech. He doesn't, like, go off into these hyperboles and all these things. Jesus goes back to this ancient prayer, the Shema, that every Jew would have known, because every day when a Jewish boy would wake up, after he finished his work, he would walk to synagogue, he would walk to temple with his father, and on his way out of the house, the father would gather the family, the patriarch would gather the family, and he would read the Shema over his family. So Jesus looks at these scribes, and Jesus is saying, remember. Jesus is saying, remember when things were simple. Remember when you were a little kid, and it didn't matter what you dressed like. You'd wear whatever you wanted to school. You played with whoever you wanted to play with. You spent less time trolling on Facebook or Twitter. You would hang out with kids who didn't look the same as you. You weren't concerned about what kind of car they drove. You weren't concerned about their degree. You weren't concerned about what denomination they were part of. Remember, when this relationship first started. He says to these religious folks, remember our God. He's our Lord. Stop living under the bondage. Stop living under the thumb and the tyranny of the enemy. Walk in freedom and remember your God. He's not one of many. He is one. And he's our Lord. He's a personal God. He's not a faraway God. He's not an angry grandpa. He's not someone waiting to just strike lightning down on you when you do something wrong. He's your father, the same way that dad would have looked at his young Jewish son and said, my son, my boy, my girl. That's the way that God's looking at you. So remember. Jesus, before he gets into anything, says, remember. Young man, young woman, would you remember? Would you remember when you first met Jesus? Maybe it was in this room, as the band comes out. Maybe it was in this room 10 years ago, or another summer camp, or a VBS. Remember when you first met Jesus? How it didn't matter. It didn't matter what you had. It didn't matter how much you knew. But it was like, Jesus, you're enough. Jews would say this prayer at Passover, where they would talk about how God had brought them out of Egypt. And as they were standing around the Passover table, the same patriarch would lead the family in this prayer, in this song. And as they talked about these different miracles that God did for them, they would say this word at the end of each stanza. They would say, Dayenu, which means it would have been enough. So they say, if God had only brought us out of Egypt, it would have been enough. They would say, if God had only fed us manna in the wilderness, it would have been enough. If God had only parted the Red Sea, it would have been enough. If God had only taken us from under the thumb of Pharaoh, it would have been enough. And they keep going, it would have been enough, it would have been enough. And they're constantly just settling. And they would sing this song over and over and over, Passover after Passover. And then Jesus comes on the scene. And he goes, it wasn't enough. That's why you keep doing these rituals, because you think by doing these Passover rituals, you are somehow going to get closer to God, that you're going to gain God's favor for one more year. But it's not enough. Only I am enough. I am the final Passover lamb. I am the final cup of the Seder. I am enough. When I look at Jesus and I look at Jesus and now I say, Dayenu to Jesus, it would have been enough. And then they would sing this song that's recorded in the Psalms. In Psalm 126, they would say, the Lord has done great things for us. We are glad. And then they would sing the psalm of Psalm 118. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. I will rejoice because this day, my God, my Lord, who is one, who is our God, has said he is enough. So I can celebrate in that moment. Before we go anywhere this weekend, would you say to God, Jesus, I want you to be enough. Jesus, I need you to be enough. Jesus, I want you to be enough. Jesus, I need you to be enough. Because I want to sing the words of that song. That this is a day that you, God, have made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Because Dayenu, you, our Lord, our one God, are enough. Friends, we can come to God two ways. We can come to God with our hands out. Like, tell me what else I need to do. Tell me what else I need to do, God. I don't know. I'll try to figure it out. Or we can come to God with hands up. And say, God, you are enough. I don't know what to do. I can't figure it out on my own. I need you. Listen, when a criminal is caught, the first thing authorities say to them is what? Put your hands up as an act of surrender. When we say, God, you are enough, we put our hands up as an act of surrender to God. Would you be so bold this weekend? Put your hands up. Say, Jesus, I don't know where you're going to take me. I don't know what you're going to do. But, hey, I'm going to surrender it to you. Because I've been trying it my own way. I've been making it complicated. Right where you are, just stand up. We're going to sing one more song. The band's going to lead us in another song. But before we go there, here's what I want to challenge you to do. Whether you believe it or not, because listen, it's okay to belong before you believe. Listen, it's okay to belong before you believe. As an act of submission, and that's hard for a lot of you. Because you're 19, 18, 20, 24, 20, I don't know how old you are, but you think you got life figured out. As an act of submission, would you stand right where you are and go, God, you know what? I don't have it all figured out. So I'm going to throw my hands up. Who here would be so bold to say, God, I don't have it all figured out. So I'm going to throw my hands up and surrender. Seriously, who here is humble enough? Humble enough to say, God, I don't have the answer. I'm going to throw my hands up. And listen, you know what I see about people so often? And I know I've gone too long, but I don't care. Here's the deal. If Blake Shelton was up on this stage, you girls would have your hands up like, oh, my God, Blake Shelton! If that lunatic Kanye West walked in here, you guys would be like, oh, Kanye West! Right? And your hands would go straight up. Straight up. If I said there was a 75% sale at Old Navy or Target, your hands would go straight up. But then I say, hey, who wants to tell the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior of this world, that we don't have it figured out? And our hands are like, okay. If you're saying, listen, in abandonment, Jesus, I got my hands up. I need you. Jesus, you are enough. And in this act of submission, just stand there with all eyes closed across the room. Hear the words of the Apostle Paul to you in this moment. For this reason, I kneel before the Lord, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit and in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how high, and how deep the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we could ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all the generations, forever and ever. And we say to you, God, Dayenu, Dayenu. If it had only been Jesus, it would have been enough. If my folks never got together, if I never got that job, if I never got that promotion, if I never got into that school, if I never got that girlfriend, that boyfriend, God, if I got Jesus, it would have been enough. So I raise my hands before you as an act of submission, and I sing praises to the God, our Lord, who is one.